All right, welcome to APRI Radio Network, and also welcome to People's Internet Radio Network. I was thinking this week, just a few days ago, I was calling the show with Kyler and me. It was called Stephen Roberts Live with Stephen Roberts and Kyler Davenport. But I had a different idea, and I ran it by Kyler just a few minutes ago, and he liked it. I believe we're going to call the show The Only Alternative. What do you think of that, Kyler?
I love it. Yeah. It rings, sounds good, and it's, and you know, as egotistical as it sounds, we are the only alternative. I mean, you know, if you're not the only alternative, then you shouldn't be a radio talk show host and an executive producer or a bureau chief.
Yeah. It's you know, like you, I think you mentioned before the, before we come on live here, it's like a double-edged sword. Or how'd you characterize it?
Conundrum. Well, it's just kind of like a conundrum.
Double conundrum,
you know,
yeah.
It's just, it's a great name. It'll spark people's imagination. It'll get people to call just to argue or debate, you know, about the name. And we're not trying to be egotistical. It just is the only alternative to us because we're in our realm, we're in our perception, our experience. So it is the only alternative. And of course, if other people call in with other alternatives, fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe I'll copyright the name. Or maybe we can copyright name, right?
Yeah.
Jump on it before somebody else does. Who knows?
Yep. I agree. How you doing today? What's been going on in radio?
I just got done with about 90 minutes ago with the People's Internet Radio show. So Tony Hurst was playing some tunes there for a little bit, and I thank Tony for doing that.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
Yeah, trying to keep a little bit of interest going in the chat room there. But earlier on today, I had a different network, and I had a very interesting guest on, and I thought we might talk about some of the topics that I talked about with her on. I actually had a woman from Virginia Beach, Virginia on. Her name was Lauren Kathleen Young. She calls herself Anarchy Girl on Facebook, and she's in a bit of a battle right now. She's in a federal lawsuit with actually her daughter is, and she's pretty much showing her the ropes and telling her how to, you know, trying to help her get through this lawsuit. But her daughter, just like 3 or 4 days after her 21st birthday, went to a club and was celebrating it, and after the club closed, she walked out and she was trying to find her boyfriend, and she got more or less beat up by a Virginia Beach cop for not doing a darn thing.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Now, well, we weren't there, so we really don't know that she wasn't doing a darn thing. That's what everybody says. Everybody in jail's innocent. I mean, do they have videotape?
They have videotape. The Virginia police do, yeah, but they're not relinquishing it for the defense.
Really?
Yeah.
What about witnesses?
I believe that there are some witnesses, yeah. I don't know how many, but I think there are witnesses.
So one Virginia Beach cop is involved in this and not backup?
I don't know if it's just one single one. She just happened to mention that there was one female police officer.
Hmm. Well, you know, it takes 7 or 8 cops now with full military riot gear to take down a 16-year-old girl.
Or a 71 or 81 or 91 year old woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if they're at a nursing home.
In a wheelchair. Yeah.
Yeah. So we see that up here all the time, you know. So tell me a little bit more about this. They've got a federal lawsuit, civil federal lawsuit, whatever, against the police department.
Immediately after the incident, the police department filed a lawsuit against the, against Lauren's daughter. And they were going to sue for damages that she allegedly caused herself in resisting arrest. Of course, the allegation is Lauren and her daughter immediately filed a lawsuit, but then that was dropped, and then she filed it in a federal, I believe, at the some kind of federal level over there.
Hmm. How long did you have her on?
2 hours.
Hmm. We don't seem to ascertain a lot of information here in 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, we talked more about the police state.
The specifics. Of you know, the case, is witnesses, videotape on both sides. Did any of the witnesses have videotape? And was her daughter have any prior arrest? And
her daughter lost her cell phone. I do know that.
Was the officer off duty? Was the officer on duty?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I believe the officer was on duty.
Mm-hmm. Did she respond to a call and specifically, or was she just driving around the cop, or what?
No, I'm not sure about that. She might have just been sitting outside the club waiting for somebody to come out, too. And, of course, her mother is is well known in that area for being a anarchist and against the system, and I don't really know if she might have been targeted.
Well, they've already got her number. Yeah, are you kidding me? You can go order pizza online and then see it pop up on Facebook or LinkedIn within an hour. So they know every move she's made and every move she's going to make and all of her PMs and everything else. And once they target a person, then they do go in and look specifically at your records and your Facebook accounts and so forth and all of your other platforms.
Certainly.
So they've had her pegged for a while.
Certainly. Most certainly, yes.
And they've got their ammunition for the judge behind closed doors, too.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Anything that she's stated against the government will be told in secret to the judge.
Depending on
what kind of judge he is or she is. I mean, some of them wouldn't allow that. Some judges would not allow that. But I would hope for the best and think the worst in a situation like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess that there's also, well, I told Lauren that, you know, once lawsuits get filed and stuff like that, a lot of times mysteriously cameras seem to malfunction, you know.
All kinds of things go missing.
Yeah.
All kinds of evidence come up missing every day, all across the world. They can walk in there and just take that evidence out. You know, I grew up in cop families where they could just take the evidence and just throw it away. Walk right into the evidence room, do whatever they wanted to with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do it on the scene. I've seen them change a homicide scene.
Yeah.
You know, they can jack with evidence all day long if they're cops and they got good friends in the evidence room.
For sure. If it's somebody they happen to know, you know, there's special people that get sent
the good
right
old
in.
Oh, boys.
And, yeah. They get sent right in and take evidence, and it gets all destroyed or taken off somewhere.
But these federal lawsuits can go on for eons. People can waste their whole lives away in federal court. I mean, I've got some people up here, two cases specifically up here, that are just wasting their lives away. They're riding bicycles. They've gotten rid of both their cars, their boat, their home, and everything else, sitting around waiting for a federal lawsuit against the police. They'll probably die. They'll be in the graveyard before this thing ever comes to fruition.
Yeah. It's really a shame that people in government can't take accountability for their actions and stuff. And well, you know, for the most part, me and Lauren talked about the police state and anarchy and things that go on. And she's a hypnotherapist by trade, and she deals with something that's probably right up your alley: the left brain, right brain.
Yeah. Well, look, you got to look at it like this. We live in the Matrix, and where anything is almost possible. And we have to stop thinking like human beings. That's the problem now. We've got to think AI, 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 AI. You know, we got to stop thinking like human beings. This is what's getting us in trouble. We're a machine. We're a quantum machine. Even you make this mistake. I make this mistake. We all, I think me less than you, but we all make this mistake of thinking like human beings. We're coming to a point in our technology, and we're coming to a point in space and time where we are looking more like a computer simulation every second of the day. And this is not just me talking. This is thousands of scientists around the world talking and non-scientists alike. So don't say, oh, the science is a bunk, because a lot of people who are just very well read are looking at this and seeing this. So we need to start having a different conversation. I keep saying this over and over again. Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to listen when I say it, because they're in the machine. And if you're in the machine, you're a part of the machine. You are the machine. You don't see it. This is what waking up is all about. People don't hear it. People think waking up is growing an all-natural garden and moving out to the country and realizing that there's a new world order. That's not what waking up is about. what's waking up is realizing that the New World Order is a part of the machine, very much a part of existence, consciousness, and being, and learning how to deal with the situation and be within the situation, be a part of the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it's all about. Waking up is not detaching from the system, but understanding, comprehending, and grasping that the system exists and that you're a part of the system.
Well, it may be, but I believe the answer is getting out of the system, non-compliance of the system, too.
That's a personal perspective, though. You have to understand. Look, you have to understand. That's your personal, and I'm not saying it's not mine. I'm just using you as an example, or anyone listening. That's your very limited capacity of understanding. That's your very, very, very limited perspective in your world.
So we should all go out and vote, and then we should go to Walmart and buy all the GMO food?
Well, see, you're trying to sell me a bill of goods. I'm trying to sell you a bill of goods. We're running a game on each other. In the machine, we run games on each other. People at PIR run games on each other in chat. You and I run games on each other. Games are run on our guests. Guests are running games on us.
I don't run any games, though.
Well, sure you do. You run a game if you have a perspective. You run a game if you have a belief system. Do you have a belief? Do you believe in anything at all?
Do you
believe in anything at all?
Sure. I believe we're supposed to be spiritual beings.
Then you're running a game. Yes.
Well, I guess you got to explain that.
In the machine. You're running a game in the matrix. Okay. This is what nobody wants to listen to. Look, everybody has drank the Kool-Aid. Okay. People that have drank the Kool-Aid for so long do not want to speak in this particular way. They're afraid of it. You're even getting a little nervous. Yes, everyone is running a game. If you're trying to convince anything of anything, if you're trying to convince anyone of anything at all, you're running a game.
Well, I guess I need to stop this radio stuff right now and get out of the game.
You'd still be running a game.
No.
You'd still be running a game.
Would I?
Yes.
How's that?
Even if you were moving off the grid, you'd be running a game of moving off the grid. That would be your game. If you were going to move into your own home, you'd be running a game. The bank would be running a game on you. You'd be running a game on someone. You're right. We're all running a game on the government for disability. They're running a game on us to take our disability away. Veterans are running games on the government when they get out, saying they have PTSD when they really don't. People are running games on the Internal Revenue Service. People are running games on mortgage companies. Mortgage companies are running games on people. You got to understand the word game, Stephen. If you're in a machine, if you're in a very complex simulation, you're running a game. You're in the game. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Your definition is different than mine is.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. In the matrix, there is no right or wrong in the matrix itself. Right or wrong exists in your mind only. Right or wrong exists
right
in my,
or wrong
in my
exists
mind
in
only.
My mind only.
Yes. It cannot exist in my mind. Your right and wrong cannot exist inside my mind. My right and wrong cannot exist inside Vin's mind or Tony's mind or Martin's mind. Each person has their own personal bubble that they live in, and that bubble cannot cross anyone else's bubble. You die by yourself. You're born, you were born by yourself, okay? So everyone is running a game. When you get up in the morning, you're running a game on your mother. Your mother's running games on you. Your dad's running games. Your stepdad's running games on you. You're running games on your stepdad. When you go to church, your pastor's running a game on everybody there. And then they're going home and running games on other
people.
Well,
that's the truth there.
Okay, so you got to understand what I'm saying, okay?
The pastors are running games there, that's for sure.
But you have to not be afraid of this word game. You can't be afraid of this word game. If you're in the system, you're in the game. If you're existing, you're in the game. If you're conscious, you're in the game. And if you're in the game, you're running the game. You know the rules of the game or you don't. And if you don't know the rules of the game, you're at a very big disadvantage. If you know the rules of the game and you're able to earn a lot of money and buy a lot of things and have a lot of control, then you're in a great advantage. You see, people that go down to a car lot and buy a car and end up paying $400 a month in payments for it, they've had a game run on them. You see what I'm saying? Of course you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you go to the bank and get a loan, they're running a game on you. If you get a credit card, they're running a game on you.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about two different games, though.
If you've got cash in your pocket, you've had a game run on you. Cash is worthless. Cash is meaningless. But you use cash. I use cash. We've been diluted to the point of no return.
Until we get out of the system, we have to use cash.
Exactly, and to get out of the system is virtually impossible unless you move in with the Quakers. And even they are being dissuaded. Even they are being persuaded. Even they are being detoured. The Quakers, Quakers and the Amish. Are having to modernize. They're having to be forced to come into the system, to come in to society, the new culture, if you will, or the culture, if you will. So
they don't have to, though.
Well, that's you've got your kids to think about. When your kids are being pulled every which way but loose, and the culture is changing rapidly, it does have a great pull on you. It does have a great pull on these people. Things are changing. Look at Ruby Ridge. Look at the Boston bombings. Look at Ruby Ridge. Look at the Smiths and the Joneses or whatever the hell it was back in the old West. Look at David Koresh. David Koresh wanted to live off the grid. David Koresh wanted to move away from the government. David Koresh wanted to disconnect from
David the system. Koresh also gathered up plenty of arms and stuff like that.
Look what happened to him.
Well, yeah.
We'll never get the straight story on that. I interviewed the sheriff. I have it on tape. I was on the phone with the sheriff right after he got off the phone with David Koresh. And there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation, a lot of things went down there that were illegal with the police department and the ATF.
Do you actually trust what that sheriff told you?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
He told me a lot of games went down that weren't true. He was very, very sick, and he had some things wrong with him, let's just say.
David Koresh was sick?
No, the sheriff.
Oh, the sheriff, okay.
He knew someone that I had known and very, very, very well, and I got some information out of him off air. That compound should have never been raided in the first place.
Well, certainly it shouldn't have.
They had an FBI agent inside the compound.
Yeah, David Koresh drove into whatever little town it was 5 days a week unarmed.
Yes, exactly.
They had him under surveillance for 6 or 8 months?
Yeah.
Six to nine months? Yeah.
And
they could have arrested him any day of the week, and he would have been unarmed. They chose that.
They chose to stir up some shit.
They chose that incident.
They just needed something to do to make the news.
Well, they also needed another distraction.
Of course.
Another major distraction, any of them, really.
Of course. But perception gets us in trouble if we don't totally understand why we have it. Emotions get us in trouble if we don't totally grasp where they come from. Attitudes get us in trouble. Education can get us in trouble. Growing up, wising up, waking up is about all the things that I'm talking about right now. And that is not to be dogmatic. Well, dogmatism gets us in trouble.
Doing all that entails bucking the system, being an anarchist, doesn't it?
No. Not in the machine. With a personal perception, it does. It's your personal perception. It's your personal experience. It's your choice. If you want to buck, quote unquote, the system, quote unquote, in quotes, if you want to look at the system as a system that is against what you believe, well, then that is one thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Why?
And if you want to try to get other people to believe that there's something wrong with the quote system, then that's you running a game on other people who want to run a game on the government. Okay. Because the government is running a game on us. It's all about everybody's running a game. Who's got the most power, who's got the most money is going to win, you see. In this particular game, the rules say if you have all the money, you have all the power. If you have all the people, if you have the numbers, you're going to win. 90% of the time, 98% of the time, you're going to win if you've got the big boot and you're going to crush the little ant, okay?
The big jackbooted thug.
If you've got the big jackboot, you're going to win. If you've got the numbers behind you, you're going to win. If you've got the people subdued to the point of being too submissive, if you've got the people believing the lie, then you're going to win. And the more that more you can continue to do that, the more money you can put in your pocket, and the more popular you can even be in the process with the Republicans, saith I.
Republicans? I don't want nothing to do with them.
I'm not talking about you, Stephen. I'm talking about people in general. Kind of made a pun there with the Republicans. I'm saying that the more people believe the lie, the deeper in shit they get, okay? And the more comfortable people are, and the less willing people are to stand up and fight and be rough and gruff and stand up and put themselves in harm's way, the more they're going to get shit on, okay?
Well, that's why I got on my Skype mood there. It says, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it.
Exactly, exactly. And different countries like PIR, different countries have different problems. Different countries have different perceptions about reality. Different countries have different perceptions about culture and creed and dogma and doctrine. So as we come together, we've already gotten in trouble before we even get together. We're already different.
Yeah, but I'm saying
the Scots, you know, and the Americans.
I'm saying, Skyler, to get out of the game, get out of this system. You know, you basically want to look at it. What do you need to survive?
A bowl of rice and some water. I was talking about this yesterday. I love rice.
You need clean food.
I absolutely had to vomit that stuff up and gag it down. I love it enough to eat it every day, and I could survive eating rice. Haiti, the people in Haiti eat dirt cookies every day. They eat dirt cookies every single day. They're 5 cents a piece, cost $5 for a bag of dirt. They mix it with a little bit of lard, a little bit of sugar, and they eat dirt cookies every single day in Haiti. If you don't believe me, go there yourself. I've been there. They eat dirt cookies by the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I'm just saying, people really need, if they really want to look at their lives, they really want to get out of this intrusiveness. They really want to get away from government. All people need is fresh water, good food, and shelter.
Now, good food is hard to come by unless you've got someone with a massive garden and you're going to be able to work with other people in some kind of collective. You're not going to be able to go down the street.
Now, people are doing that, though.
But that's in the system. If you have food stamps, you're in the system. If you don't have food stamps, you're pretty much screwed, Stephen, unless you're going to go to McDonald's and beg at the window, or Taco Bell, or Kentucky Fried Chicken at night when they throw away the rest of their chicken.
Well, yeah, people are going to have to look at their lives. People
you can't go out and shoot a deer anymore without getting arrested. You can't go out and shoot a turkey anymore without getting arrested. You can't fish, especially here in the Northwest, without having a college degree and knowing exactly what lure, what size lure, what size hook, what color hook, what this, what that.
I guess maybe we're all talking to the wrong people. Maybe we need to go talk to the sheriff's department and the police departments and the people at City Hall.
Cops are all subdued. The cops are all subdued by this illusion that they have a badge and a gun, that they have some kind of power that's been bestowed upon them by some fictional character somewhere. And so that's a big problem when cops don't realize who they work for and when cops forget why they exist in the first place.
Everybody likes these shiny little trinkets that you can go to a store and buy. Everybody likes these 54-inch flat TVs, Kyler. Everybody loves the 40-foot boat in the front yard.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you become really wise, not you, but just people in general, when you wise up, when everybody wises up, everybody wakes up, they realize that that's normal. Wait a minute, Stephen. They realize that that is perfectly normal.
To be what? I think that's just part of envy and arrogance, really.
No. That's
to try to keep up with your neighbor?
Arrogance is normal. Arrogance is normal. You got to understand. You got to listen to me. Arrogance is normal in this society. Very normal.
Well, that's
very normal.
That's why we're in the trouble we are in.
Yes, but we need to have this discussion, you and I. In order to educate people out there, we need to have this discussion. Normal is not always good. Normal could be bad. Normal could be terrible. Normal could be poison.
Normal is bad.
Well,
I'm sorry
it is to you. It's not to the guy with three boats and two jet aircraft and a mansion, 36-room mansion.
Sure, that's why he's
and two beautiful daughters and a beautiful son who just graduated from Harvard.
That's why he's a little bit too comfortable and he's not going to help.
And his wife's a gynecologist. He's not thinking that he's thinking you're a complete idiot for telling him that he's abnormal and that he's crazy and that he should get out of the system and move into an RV and shoot deer and turkey. He's thinking that you're on some kind of frickin' drug. You need to go to a psychiatric hospital.
I don't really want an RV, Kyler. I'd rather have a log house out in the woods somewhere.
Well, at least with an RV, I can escape anytime I want to and be gone within 22 minutes. I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Everything I own is gone with me.
Well, this is just my opinion here again, but, you know, if I put my foot down and say that they're going to let me out of this system, you know, there's two ways I get out of this system. I get out and,
feet first.
Yeah. Or I'm out in a pine box. It doesn't really matter. I'm out of the system.
I personally do not want out that bad. I personally do not feel like I'm going to go up against the cops and die by cop. I told you that the other day that I would.
I didn't say anything.
There are circumstances. Well, no, I said I made out like maybe I would do that the other day when we were talking.
Yeah, but I never said anything about getting out of the system by going and doing something stupid and letting them take me out, but
No, I'm saying if they came and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was some kind of FEMA trick, some kind of national security deal, some kind of Homeland Security crap, I would definitely die by cop. Okay? If I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that they were rounding people up and that it was coming to pass, all of the things you and I have envisioned, all the things that you and I have taught, all the things that you and I have talked about, and it's coming to pass. Here it is. The trains are being loaded, and they've got a vaccine for everyone waiting, like in Nazi Germany. I would die by cop, okay? But if it was just a normal situation with cops, I wouldn't die by cop. But I wouldn't get myself into that situation in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? I don't go out looking for trouble. I don't go out looking for trouble.
Well, I don't either, you know.
A lot of people do, though. A lot of people go out and smart off to the cops and shoot them the finger. And, you know, they're putting themselves in grave danger.
I know someone that has lost her home because she's fighting against the house, you know, home mortgage tax.
That's a nasty word to me. I told somebody on PIR the other day, I told my fans out there, my audience on PIR, I said, look, if you don't want to have problems with a mortgage, don't get a mortgage.
Not a mortgage. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, I do.
The homeowner's tax.
I said, look, if you don't want to get involved, don't get involved in the first place. That's the problem with people. They get these houses, they get a little money in their pocket, they get a little credit worthy, they go out and they buy a house they can't afford, they're sold a bill of goods, and now they're wanting out, they can't pay for it, and here's where the trouble starts. Okay? If you don't want a problem, then don't get in a contract in the first damn place. Okay?
Oh, yes, exactly. I do
simple.
Know what you mean.
Simple.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yep.
And I don't want to hear people coming and whining to me who I've told this and they already knew this. Most people already know that you can't spend $500 a week when you only make $250.
Yeah.
Most people are not stupid.
Yeah. So what do a lot of people do? You know, this police state that we have, Kyler, these cops are brainwashed to the point that they're people at City Hall are telling them that there's no money for the county or the township. You know, we have to write these tickets up for people that have
Don't speed. Don't have your taillights out. Look, before we leave, even though we run with the cops and we have the cops and we are part of the cops, we look at our headlights. We look at our taillights. We look at our turn signals. We look at our windshield wiper blades. We don't pick our nose. We don't talk on our cell phone. We don't have the stupid radio blaring.
Yeah.
40 decibels. Okay. Yeah. We don't drive down the road in a beat up piece of shit that people are going to, that's a cop stopper. If you drive down the road and you've got crap hanging off your rearview mirror, dice hanging off your rearview mirror, and you've got a doggy shaking his head in the back, you've got stupid bumper stickers on your car, you're asking for it, you idiot. You're asking for it.
You know what I told somebody yesterday?
What?
I told somebody that asked me what I would say or what I would do next time I got pulled over by a police officer, and I thought about it, and I've often thought about saying this to a cop, but I haven't yet. Of course, I haven't been pulled over much, but, you know, a lot of times the cops will ask you, do you know why I pulled you over?
Right, they always do, most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, and I've thought about saying, well, yeah, of course I know the reason why. You want me to say something stupid and contract with you so you can steal money from me.
No, wrong, wrong, wrong answer.
No, but I've thought about saying it, though.
No, you just comply. I mean, you comply. That's, you know, I've been around cops all my life. You comply. They've got a job to do. They've got a brotherhood.
Yeah,
attitude.
I'm just doing my job, huh?
No. It's just
I beat him over the head with my stick the correct way, so I'm just doing my job.
If you come head to head with a machine, you've got to know the rules, okay? If you come head to head with a machine, you've got to know the rules.
Hands up, slave, right?
I worked undercover too long, okay? If you want to get out of a rape situation, if you're a woman, you've got to take my course. You've got to know the rules, okay?
You ain't talking about pissing your pants, are you?
I'm talking about spreading those legs and acting like you're going to go for it until you can kill him, and I show women how to do that. You've got to act like you're going along with it in a certain way. You learn this in neurolinguistic programming. You learn this in interrogation. You learn this in psychology. You act like you're going along with the system in order to kill the system, okay? You can blend into the system. We've had many, many shows.
But that's not getting out of the system, though.
Well, no, and you're not. Look, you're either going to get out of the damn system or you're not. You're not going to be in the middle.
You can pick and choose your battles.
Well, yeah, you can choose your battles, but you're still not going to be in the middle. You're either in the system or you're not. You're either drawing government money, you're drawing food stamps, you're making some kind of a living somewhere, you're purchasing food at Walmart, you're eating mom's steak dinners.
Well, you're
going out to the diner to pay, you know.
Yeah, You need to hope and pray that I never get healed, because you will never hear from me again, period. End of sentence, end of story.
Well, I don't know. You've got to really plan for that.
No, there's no plan.
You've really got to plan for that, huh?
If I get healed, my body, if I get my body to where it was 25 years ago, it's been 24 plus years now, working on 25. If I get my body healed to that point, and I get strong enough, I will build me a house down in the woods and nobody will hear from me. Period.
Well, I have a good
end
friend.
Of sentence. End of story.
I have two friends who did that for 13 years until they went completely bonker shits.
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
Right.
There's plenty of women there's plenty of people that want to be out there in that type of a life.
They were 23 miles. One friend of mine was 23 miles out. And I mean out. And went bonkers, went completely just bonkers, was talking to himself.
Yeah.
And
you know,
he didn't have anybody out there with him, though.
Yeah, you know? Well, I hope you're not talking about the Unabomber there.
No, not the Unabomber. That's my other buddy.
I got joked today about looking like the Unabomber. Somebody in the network, in the PIR network, a few days ago, he kind of ribbed me in the chat there. He said, Super, your Skype is ringing. And I said, no, it's not. He goes, didn't you get that call? And I said, no, who was it? And he said, it was the 17th century. They wanted their beard back.
Yeah, you don't look like the Unabomber. I look like the Unabomber with a hoodie on. Yeah, I do. But you really have to teach people about this machine. You have to teach people about, especially us on air here, you have to teach people what is this machine? Number two, how did this machine come to be? Number three, what is the source of this machine, if there is a source? You have to teach people how does this machine work? You can't work within a system.
We
or
let
leave
this
a
machine
system.
Happen. You know, I thought about today, Kyler, the way people are. Just pick an age demographic. You know, let's just say the 18 to 35 group. They are that way because their parents let them be that way or made them that way.
Yes, and they're very programmed and very indoctrinated and very set in stone.
I say it a lot. We are in the trouble we are in because we let it happen.
Of course we did. Of course we are.
It's
of course we are. We're still
fault.
Letting it happen.
Yeah, it is our fault.
But there is no we. See, the problem is there is no we. This we is an illusion that we talk about on air at PIR and APRI. This we is an illusion. There is no we. There is only me and you, okay? And we're not together. We don't live together. There's only me and you and them, and that's it. There is no us, okay? There is no us. Forget about it. Quit talking about we. I got on to Tom Buford the other night for talking about something stupid. Stop saying we. There is no we. You only have you. That's it.
You know what I? Yeah, you know what I used to hear when I was a boy?
What?
Who's we, Kimosabi?
Yeah, I used to hear.
You have a mouse in your pocket?
Said we shot a bear and Paul drug it up on the porch and killed it, which means we didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing and we ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. There is no we. We don't live in tribes anymore. We don't live in small villages anymore. We don't run in small bands anymore. Okay. Those days are over. We have divided ourselves to the nth degree. And this is the problem. Well, everyone has become so individualistic and so enlightened. Enlightened my ass. Everybody has become so pseudo-enlightened and
enlightened by the entertainment system, right?
That they're stupid. They're stupid. They're just stupid. Yeah. Yeah, the entertainment system. And you can't run in on people like that and start talking about the machine and the system. They love the machine. They love the system.
Absolutely, they do.
They worship the system.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to do without their smartphones and their pizza instant delivery. They're not going to do without their little apps on the computer. They're not going to do without Facebook and Farmville 2. They're not going to do without their video games. They're not going to do without their microwaves and their instant pudding. They're simply not. You know, my point is we have to be careful here who we're talking to and how we're talking to them. A lot of people will think we are completely insane for talking like this. We can't run everybody off like we've done in the past. I'm sure we've run a lot of people off. You too, included, as nice and sweet as Stephen Roberts is. I'm sure you've run a lot of people off and they think you're completely bonkers for talking about some of the stuff that we talk about, like chemtrails and Jade Helm 2 and DARPA and HARP and the Vatican and the Council on Foreign Relations and all this other shit. The people think we're crazy. Crazy. Have you ever stopped to think about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Well, you know, I used to remember some of the TV shows and some of the movies way back in the day that would show people like you and I. They would be, whether it was a preacher or some sort of no, they would portray somebody as a nut job standing on a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe a bench screaming about the, I don't know, the police state or. Yeah. The last days are coming. Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't see any of this in an apocalyptic way or from an apocalyptic perspective. Shit happens. I always say shit happens. Life goes on. These are just events and time and space in the quantum matrix. And until people realize that, they're not going to be awake. They're not going to understand. They're not going to grasp what's going on or how to deal with it effectively.
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is they actually have to recognize that there is something wrong, and they have to recognize that they don't know what that something is.
Maybe most people, you're right. Most people do not realize how much doo-doo we've dug ourselves into. Most people have no clue. I mean, they are clueless as to how the world works.
Uh-huh.
Most people on Facebook are clueless. They're clueless that there's misery and suffering and degradation and
there's only
going on around the world.
There's only like 1/9 of the world's population that actually has social media or electronics or anything like that. You know, I heard a startling statistic, something like 90% of the world's population has never seen, or maybe it's not quite that high. Maybe it's like over 80% of the world's population has never talked on a cell phone or never seen a television screen or, I would venture to say that probably 40% of the world's population doesn't have electricity or running water.
Right. Right. And people just can't fathom that.
Yeah.
The average 18 to 35 year old just cannot fathom that, cannot see that. And even those older cannot understand or grasp what you just said, you know.
Well, I can imagine that there is some part of the older population that can identify with not having some of the electronics of today, because a lot of them didn't have it in their day. I didn't have any of this stuff when I was in that 18 to 34 demographic range.
I didn't either. And I was the better for it. I was the better for it because I was ignorant to it and didn't know I needed it.
You know what? I actually remember as a teenager and even younger than that, Kyler, I remember hearing about the New World Order and the coming, apocalypse or whatever you want to call it. All the stuff that still gets put out there today by the fear porn industry. I remember hearing a lot of this stuff back when I was a kid. I just didn't care about it. It just didn't resonate with me.
No, me neither. Not until I was much older. Daddy was a prophet. Daddy predicted all these things that have happened. Daddy predicted all these things. And I heard all of that, and I was educated to it, but I never cared about any of it. I never really grasped any of it until I was probably 22 years old, maybe 25.
It didn't even hit me until I was 44.
Oh, well, it hit me much earlier than that.
No, I
lived with the New World Order, though. I lived with the chieftains. Yeah. I lived with the New World Order.
But I virtually got my first computer at the age of 44.
Good Lord, man.
Well, I had heard about all of the intrusiveness way back then. You know, back in the early 80s, they had all these people, and I would hear them talk about the intrusiveness of computers, the internet, how much data they were collecting.
Yeah.
And this stuff's been going on for a long, long time.
And that was an understatement. What they were telling you even back then was an understatement.
Yeah.
I believe that people are going to be rounded up off the grid. I don't believe they're going to allow people to move off the grid. I've been reading many, many stories where people are being told they can't live off the grid. You can't live off the grid.
The people that go along with the brainwashing, they're going to say, "Oh, okay, boss. I'll get back into the slave house, massa." Okay, massa.
You know, and that may be cop. That may be death by cop. I mean, that's when, you know, I don't know. I'd have to make a decision. That's really a hard decision to make. You know, I can't say that right now. I just don't know. I mean, if somebody was trying to force me back into this nutty contract and I had already severed my ties and hadn't hurt anyone and hadn't harmed anyone, you know, I might die by cop.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it may not be a cop. It may be some, you know, somebody in the army or somebody in the, some stupid federal agency. Yeah.
Blackwater, Halliburton or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, these defense contractors are making billions and billions and billions, man. It's worse than Big Pharma. I mean,
that reminds me of a story, Kyler. I've got a neighbor that works for, he's a lawyer for one of these companies that has a lot of contracts and, you know, they works with some of these big groups like Carlyle and Bechtel and Halliburton and stuff like that. And he tried to explain to me one day that he was fully aware and awake. And then he turned around within, you know, a couple of minutes and started talking about the terrorists over in Iraq. And I thought, what a fool. How can you tell me you're fully awake and then still be part of the left-right paradigm, you know?
I have a friend who has a top-secret clearance and works in Pennsylvania at a missile base there. And he's always talking on the phone to me real stealthy, you know, real stealthy about what's going on, what kind of this they're building and that they're building. And then, I can't tell you about this, can't tell you about that. And yet he purports to be an anti-New World Order person, but yet he works with a top-secret clearance at a missile base.
And still in the left-right paradigm, right?
Yeah. And he's also a pilot. Very smart guy. Very good friend. I've known him forever. But hell, he makes good money. Oh, my God. He makes good money. And I work in it.
It's just a job. Yeah, I'm just doing my job. That's all it is. Yeah.
And he was telling me how they don't let people see more than three components at a time where he works, which was interesting, which they don't allow anyone to put more than three components together at one time. And those are like skipped. You'll have a component and then a skip, skip, and then a component, and then a skip, 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 and then a component. And you work on those skipped components, and then someone else works on the algorithm of the components that you skipped. And in the end, nobody could put those components together.
Yeah. Exactly.
No one could put what they're doing together. They don't know. They wouldn't know how, which would make sense, right? You don't want people working for you knowing how to build a missile.
Yeah.
And these are just assembly line people. These are not scientists. These are just common people off the street working at a top secret clearance, working with a top secret clearance at a missile base.
Hell, they're killing all the scientists in the world.
Well, they're doing their best.
All the biologists, anyways.
Well,
hasn't there been over like 200 biologists that have been killed in the last two decades?
I think 236 or something. Yeah. There's it is what it is, though, Stephen. It is what it is. And until we realize that, we're not going to have the right conversation on PIR or APRI. I mean, until we wake up and realize that it is what it is, no one person here on air is going to make any drastic changes that's going to overthrow this government, okay? We're simply here just having a chat. We're having a chat. That's all we're doing. I mean, if something happened and we accidentally hit the right mode and node and person, and all of a sudden they rose up to be another Martin Luther King, more power to them. Great. Fantastic. We did our job. But other than that, we're just having a chat here, buddy. We're having a chat here. I know you think about it all the time. I know you've thought about getting out of radio, like, hey, why the hell am I here?
Well, no, I just.
Well, you know, you're not going to make any major changes.
Not so much getting out of radio. You know, it's just going to come to a point where we're going to have to start writing people off. And I just don't know when that point is, you know.
Well, I've already come to that point, kind of. In my life, my personal life, I've already come to that point.
Yeah.
I've eliminated so many clueless lame brains from my life. It's unbelievable. They've fallen like dominoes. I won't even get together with these people anymore. They're clueless. They're brainless. They're drunk. You know, they're just drunk. They party. They smoke dope. They like to talk about just frivolous, stupid, lame brain, airheaded things.
Yeah.
That's all they like to talk about. Nothing else.
A lot of people can't handle the pressure that they're under. Well, I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but we're talking about some of the people that are in this movement.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
They just can't even handle the pressure. I don't know whether that's getting to their heads or what. Or maybe they're targeted individuals. Maybe they're under some kind of a technological attack. I don't know.
Well, they could be under some kind of ELF frequency attack or something, or some kind of nano project. But I'm just going to do the best I can here at my age on air. I'm just going to do the best I can to entertain myself. If you're not entertaining yourself, then you need to get out quick.
Yeah.
You entertain yourself. You entertain as many people as you possibly can. And I use that word entertain being in a good way, entertain people in a good way, and come across with as much information as you can from good sources, and do your best to have a good conversation on air. And that's about all you can do. I mean, other than that, I used to be save the world kind of guy back in my 20s, 30s. I was a save the world. I would have come on the air thinking I was going to save the world and start a revolution. I was going to start a revolution right here on APRI and PIR. We were going to start a revolution together.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Well,
not anymore.
It takes people that actually want to, you know, believe something other than someone that's on the TV screen.
And Tom pisses me off. You know, Tom Euford, you know, he pisses me off. I'm his official media network, and he's out here doing all these interviews. And the last three interviews he did, I wanted to go to sleep. He refuses to talk about the New World Order. He refuses to let the words come out of his mouth. He refuses to talk about chemtrails. He refuses to talk about HARP. He refuses to talk about DARPA. He refuses to talk about any kind of mind control or weaponry, advanced weaponry that might nano brain blood barrier, you know, penetration. He won't. It's the same old bullshit, the same old political rhetoric.
Do you think he has cognitive dissonance?
Of course he does. We argue about it constantly. We argue about it constantly, you know, and I'm like, dude, you're with the wrong audience. You're drawing the wrong idiots. You're drawing idiots into your campaign. You know, you need to draw the alternative community. Well, I don't know anything about the alternative community. Well, I've sent you 25 videos, the best in the business of alternative radio. Well, I'm looking at them slowly. It's hard for me to believe any of this stuff. It's hard for me to grasp any of this stuff. It's hard for me to talk about it if I can't believe it.
He believes so his loving government,
right? He's a good candidate for us to look at. He's educated, you know, master degree, political science, worked in four major administrations, been behind the dark wall of the Capitol Hill, and he's brainless when it comes to the New World Order. Tom, I hope you're listening. Brainless. He knows he's brainless when it comes to the New World Order.
Well,
so you know, if he's that way, how many politicians are that way in the House?
You know, cognitive dissonance, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be scrutinized and it needs to be taught. People need to be, instead of slapped upside the back of the head and say, look at this stuff, it's real. People have to find out for themselves about it.
Okay, you're right. They do. And that's the hard part. That means you and I have to just kind of sit back on our haunches and do what we do here as much as we possibly can and just wait for the world to crumble. That's what it ultimately means, and that's the truth. That's the truth. The world is going to crumble around us, and we're going to be screaming and yelling and hollering like the guys on the street corner in downtown Dallas,
old
street preachers.
It's scientifically studied, Kyler, that people have to hear something seven times before it resonates, and it resonates to them.
Well, they have to do more than hear it. They have to become a part of it. They have to become close to it. They have to be able to enjoy a part of it.
They have to hit rock bottom, don't they?
Yeah. And then come back up in a place where someone can instill them with wisdom and knowledge. Someone can instill them with intuitiveness and discernment and wisdom. And that's not happening because all of these poor folks are already in the nursing home and they're dying.
Yeah.
So we're left with a bunch of lame brains.
Yes, we are. And that's the end of our show here. I mean, I know we've only got about a minute left here. Why don't we just plug some sites, plug our Facebook and stuff like that, Kyler?
Go ahead and plug yours.
Well, I can be reached either at Facebook.com, and my profile is a little bit odd there. It's / Roberts, Roberts, 70652, or just Stephen Roberts, and the profile is in Niles, Michigan. Catch me on there. Hit me up. I've got 2,150 friends, but I'll take more. Or they can also reach me at Twitter.
Well, we've got 26,000 plus friends, and we're flying off the charts, and I really don't give a damn. And if you want to find me, it's Kyler Davenport or Marion Pound. You know, if you want to get involved, if you want to take part in some of our missions, projects, programs, events, I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to pay you a little bribe. And I really don't give a shit either way. But, I mean, you know, if you want to get involved, you will. You know what I mean? I'm not going to kiss your butt.
Yeah.
So thank you, Stephen.
Oh, thank you, Kyler. Well, we both like the name of the show, The Only Alternative. And
I love it. The more I hear it, the better I like it.
We're going to have to make a poster for that and see how it goes.
Thanks a lot, brother. See you.
All right, everyone. We will see you next Sunday at... Well, it's going to be 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and I believe that's going to be like 3 a.m. Ireland time. So, everyone, we'll see you next week.
See y'all.